I just want everyone to know that I'm wearing a praying hoodie, and I just feel like our viewers are like able to watch me turn into something very awful and very ugly. Not in a physical sense, but like on the inner sense. Like something horrible on the inside, like a bad person.
Oh my God.
Okay. I know we just talked mad shit, but
Yeah.
you want to come on the podcast?
Well, I think I'm bipolar.
I think I am too.
Don't take my thing away from me.
Okay, so, oh my God, cancel culture. I just can't believe how it's changed all this fucking time. Seriously, though.
Need to like take a deep breath.
Seriously, though. Seriously. Seriously, though, we gotta get on this. Come on, okay, you start.
I like we already talked about all of this. I
Oh
think
my God,
everyone knows.
I missed you all so much. See how excited I am to tell you things?
Okay,
Ha.
this is insufferable.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Anya and Drew are canceled. Wow,
Oh.
yay.
Guys, what's qu interesting about things to me is that, okay, let me be real. Mute it up. Okay,
Is
now
that you
I'm real.
reminding?
I'm real. Okay. The thing about this is I don't want to just say everything that everyone else has said, but I feel like this is an interesting thing, right? Because literally nothing's interesting anymore.
Nothing's
Literally
interesting.
nothing is interesting anymore, and that's why I think maybe we can't ever record solo again. We have to just keep interviewing people and letting them say
Yeah.
nothing instead, because like every time we say nothing, I can't deal with it anymore. Okay,
Yeah.
a big lens that I'm looking at things at, this is what I wrote down in my notes, is
Ugh,
that
I should pull up my notes.
a phenomena happens and you see it happen in the beginning. Like you're on Stan Twitter, right? And you see people be like, hashtag cancel Tana Mojo, right? When she's saying the N-word and stuff. And you see that start there, right? And it started before that, but you see it start, right? But then guess what? Now it's not just the Tana Mojo fandom anymore. Now it's everyone in your real life knows what canceling is. Isn't that what's scary? Don't you think that's scary? Because I think it's scary.
Oh, like it
Sorry.
used to be only for a select few people.
Like, I just think that's how I view everything that we talk about is I think about it. I feel like I dissect it by looking at how it's changed since I saw it when I was younger. Because I feel like I was very much, not to be fucking annoying, but I feel like I was like watching it from the start and seeing how it changed. So I feel like from that lens, you can like see how it applies to a bigger group versus a smaller group and unpack it in that way. It will never be normal to me when I. Like when people who are so not online know what it means to be canceled is like weird, and it's weird that it's gotten to that point and that like it's just a general public thing now, and I know that that's just how everything works. Wait, okay, can I say this though? The guys, okay, I'm talking to two guys named Connor at the same time, and like the one literally thinks I'm like, it's like so easy to trick men who don't know about the internet. Like it's so crazy. Like literally all I had to do was like act like joke about Ariana Grande for 10 minutes at Dirty Franks, and this guy's freaking in love with me.
Okay, I think that a couple things about that. I think
He's
that that means that he's gay.
not gay. To say about Enya and Drew to just like begin to talk about that as a thing, because I don't think there's a lot of things that people haven't already said about it. But I do think what's interesting is viewing it from the lens of Enya and Drew being at the point where people take them it, like as seriously as they do, and them being that huge and people knowing them from Emergency Intercom, and it being so weird when people are like, our roommate's friend, and he's a lot older than us, and he isn't really online. And he was like, I said that I got some of my hair care products from Enya, and which, okay, just like let me do that.
And he was like, oh, Enya and Drew, that's like your generation, blah, blah, blah,
And
you're
he like
so.
just knows who they are from Emergency Intercom, and that's just still odd to me because it's like they were at like I just remember when they were kids at Playlist Live being mean to their fans. Like I miss when I would see Twitter, like when I would see tweets about them like being bitches to their fans. At like Playlist Live, like the ones where you sit at the like tabletop and fans come up and take a picture with you and you're in like cut off jean shorts, and that's just weird. And like I know that's just how things evolve, but it is just weird, isn't it? And that's why I think the whole cancellation thing for them is kind of jarring to me, because I'm like, oh my God, enough people know about them for that to even happen, which, like, I know that is true. But just watching the way that they have become mainstream is so weird. And I also think that's part of why fans are mad at them, is because they've gotten to a point where they're like, no, that's my best friend, but like, they're not your best friend. And they're like friends with like mainstream celebrities. Like, they're probably partying with Charli XCX, let's be real
And
about
Dasha.
this, and Dasha.
And I think also a lot of people getting mad about it are using that as a reason. Because then people being like, they were never funny. Emergency intercom was never funny, blah, blah, blah. Because I feel like I've seen a lot of comments like that. But I also think with a lot of fans that like them now, they've just outgrown their content
Yeah.
now that
And like,
they've.
their podcast is not how, I don't
It
know.
used to be.
Yeah.
Which is like, or maybe, I don't even think that that's it. I think it's just that. But the people who watch it have gotten older.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think that the world has adapted their humor. And we'll get into the cancellation stuff actually after, we'll just lay this foundation. But I just think that the general public has, and Gen Z especially, has just integrated their humor, and it's become Gen Z humor. And now it's at a point where that's like the norm, and that's like almost an like a baseline for what people have. And it's like not something that's new anymore. Not to say that they're not like funny or anything, because I think that they literally impacted a generation in an insane way. But I think that, yes, that the who they are for everyone has shifted a lot. Why do you hate
I
me?
don't. Oh, I'm just depressed. Well, I don't know what I was saying. I was saying something and then you interrupted me.
Sorry, I didn't
So
mean
now it's like I don't even know what I was saying anymore.
Enya Drew. Enya Drew. Something about Enya and Drew, I think.
Oh, really? Was it? I'm looking at my notes.
Okay. But yeah, no, I think that I think people are funny because I think the people who have watched them for a long time, and are probably a lot of the people who are just like, they're not funny anymore. It's like, no, like, you're just like, I don't know, everyone's just gotten used to it because it's not a new. Because at the time they were doing that, they were setting a tone for an entire social media generation, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And like, when I look back at them, I feel like a lot of the thing that is held in my heart and like actually impacted me was more so their vlogs and like that sort of stuff from them, and not really even like, I think the first like 50 episodes of Emergency Intercom were so good because you were like, oh my God, they're talking and we're getting to know their actual lives right now, and this is really interesting.
Yeah, but now it's kind of the same stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. But I also love, I like them. Like, I'm not like, I will
Yeah.
always love them.
Yeah,
I
I
think
like
people just
them.
like have, I don't even know if it's growing out of it, but just like, it's just not, it's just how the comedic tides change, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think that like the weird thing is I think people just make jokes that aren't like the whole joke about Greta and Malala and whatever they said.
For context, if you haven't even
My
seen it,
God.
what? I'm doing my damn job.
Oh, no, go.
For context, if you haven't seen it, they made a joke about that. Okay, and
Okay,
now
that's literally not doing anything.
just so you know, that's what happened.
Ugh.
Okay, go ahead.
They made a joke about essentially, they were like, what happened to Greta Thunberg? She fell off. And then they made a similar joke about Malala. And my whole thing with it.
And there was a crazy edit made that went viral of them.
Yeah.
It was like insane,
Yeah.
of them saying what they said, and then like clips of like Greta like doing a bunch of activist stuff, and it with like music over it, and it was like,
It was kind of base. Oh, you keep interrupting
okay,
me.
I'll not say anything else for the rest of the episode.
Good. They made a joke about Greta Thunberg and Malala like falling off. And I think that
What if
regardless,
one day we end up like them?
I'm like ending, I'm hanging up. Like, I'll leave
No,
you in here by yourself. Like, you can be here by yourself. And it's like, regardless of anything else, I think that it's just a weird joke to make and that it's just not funny. Like, why even say that? Why? Like, it's just not funny.
Well, I feel like their humor is saying the worst thing sometimes. So I get how they would sometimes lose the line. I do
But
get
I don't
that because
even
I
get
feel
how that's,
like
it's like, I don't think it's funny.
I don't think it's funny either, but I think that people just lose the line when they're used to saying like fucked up stuff all the time.
Which also is like, okay, so they've always said fucked up stuff, but now, like, this is what's canceling them. And I think it's just because the state of the world. I think that if they had, like, I honestly don't think it would have been a big deal if they, like, had said one thing about Palestine in their entire lives or, like, done anything. I think that this would have been fine, personally. And Nicole and Jake talked about this on their podcast, Talk Nasty to Me. Like, saying how they were, like, basically saying how creators will, like, go out of their way to not speak about Palestine. And how in their apology, like Enya and Drew's apology statement or whatever, they said the word Gaza or they said the word Palestine. And that was like the first that they've ever said it. And they were like, the bar is literally in hell. And also, Nicole is like part of like the whole Creators for Palestine.
We're talking about Nicole Raffi, for anyone who
Yeah.
doesn't know.
Yeah. She's part of like the whole Creators for Palestine. And she was reaching out to a bunch of influencers. And they were some of the influencers she reached out to. And like they didn't respond or anything. Thing is that I hate everyone online right now, so I can't really even say anything about it.
Well, explain that
I
more.
don't like Enya and Drew right now. I don't like Josh. They're all just pissing me off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Josh, if you're watching this, you're pissing me the fuck off.
Just like generally, or
Yeah.
I wonder when we're gonna have to stop asking for him.
I think this episode. Kidding. I'm
Really?
kidding. I'm kidding. No, but I
I
do
still
think.
love him. I still want him. Like, I don't know. Don't listen to her. Like, guys,
Hey,
I like
okay.
you.
She likes Dasha too and like fucking crypto Remilia shit. So
I don't like that.
he
I never
does.
said that. I don't.
Ooh. Can you put in like scary sound effects?
When you say Remilia, there's
Yeah, every time we say
ooh.
Remelia, there should be like a thing that comes up.
This is
Anyway,
like the fucking worst episode of my life. I can't.
everyone online is pissing me off, so I just don't even care. I'm like, look, if you're pissed about them saying that, then don't fucking watch them anymore. Like, I don't know. Like, go find someone else to watch, go read
Well,
a book, go sit outside. Go invest your money in a stock market. Go make out with somebody. Have some sex. Like, I guarantee you, everyone mad about it hasn't had sex in probably like months. And that's partly why they're mad. Eat a cookie cake.
projecting. This is my thing. Enya and Drew are forever, and they're never getting canceled, no matter what you guys try to do. I'm just
Yeah.
saying.
Well, yeah.
And you know, if you get annoyed they don't talk about Palestine, then you're gonna stop watching them, but they're always gonna be the people they are.
And I also
And
think
is
that
this
you.
productive? Because I don't know. I don't
I.
know. I don't know if it's productive, guys. I'm just gonna
I think that, like, there's definitely. It's, like, good to, like, make them. Or, like, put pressure on them to talk about Palestine. But I also think at this point, it's been, like, a year and a half and they haven't said anything about Palestine. So I don't
Yeah.
think that that's really changing either. So at that point, it's like, okay, well, then what do? Is it even productive anymore? Who even knows? I think
Well,
you should just stop watching them. Because also, there's other people online who are funny. And also, you should get funny yourself. Like, if you want to watch someone funny, why don't you just be the funny? Be the change you want to see in the world. Be funny.
you're like being worse than me now.
I'm saying the truth. This is what no one wants to hear.
I just wonder where things stand these days because canceling's over, but canceling's not over. And I don't know, guys. It just seems like people can hate you all they want, but someone's gonna like you.
Yeah, because it's cool to be hated.
You
I
probably think
hope
so,
that
though.
emergency intercom turns
Right
right wing.
wing? Cool. Yeah. I would have never thought that's what you were gonna say.
I'm hanging up. Like, you're pissing me off.
I think it is good that pressure gets put on creators to talk about political stuff, especially when they have so much influence and power and stuff. But also, it's weird. It's a weird thing that I question sometimes where I'm like, well, are like if a creator actually isn't educated on it, like they probably shouldn't be like Like, people should educate themselves, obviously. But then if they're not educated, maybe like they're not the person who to be talking about it. They should like just elevate like other voices or whatever they can do. But
Yeah.
also, I don't know. I just wonder about it because I'm like, why? Like obviously personally, I'm like, yeah, I think they should talk about it. But it's like, why do they need to talk about it when other people are talking about it? You know what I mean? Like, if you wanted to find it, you could just find information or find people talking about causes you care about.
Like, I don't know. It's like
'Cause
more so
like,
just a moral thing.
well, it's like at a certain point, like what really are they doing if they're gonna, if they're like the same people they are, whether they put a GoFundMe link in their description box or not. You know what I mean?
I
Like,
mean, I definitely think it'll raise awareness. It like will get more people to like do stuff.
you think like
Like,
just
I'm
like
sure that
them
there's people.
specifically?
Yeah, because they're so big, I'm sure that there's people that follow them that like would do whatever they say.
That is like an interesting thing because I don't know. I just find I like think I just lose, I get lost in thinking that people still do that with creators.
Yeah, I get that.
Because it's like, yeah, like you might be obsessed with someone, but you're gonna just donate to a GoFundMe specifically because they told you to. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem realistic to me, but you are probably right. There probably are people who
Which
are
also
that
is like, I don't think
devoted.
anyone should just be donating blindly to something. Like, I feel like everyone should be doing their own research. But I also think that, like, it's spreading awareness. But I also think, like, part of it is just a moral thing of being like, okay, like, there is this really huge genocide going on. And to just, like, ignore it and act like it doesn't exist is kind of psychotic. So it's
Yeah.
like, either, like, say, like, maybe you're like not pro-Palestine, so then you can say that. Maybe you're pro-Palestine.
Yeah, they're gonna
That,
say that.
well, that's what I'm
And
saying. Like, that,
like if they're
like,
not pro-Palestine, they're keeping their damn mouths shut, you know?
yeah,
Like,
exactly. Which, like, at that point, then it just like is also bad. I don't know. It's like,
the thing is that I was saying before is I kind of a little bit understand. I don't know. I feel like it's like not okay to say this, but it's a, and personally, I agree. I think they like, I prefer for someone to talk about it. Like, I prefer, but I also think like I've spent a lot of time talking to friends who are pro-Israel, and I kind of understand. I don't like, I think that the way we're approaching the conflicting sides of the Israel-Palestine conflict is a little bit wrong. And again, I'm pro-Palestine. Like, I don't like I agree with everything that you're saying too.
yeah.
But I think that I know a lot of people who aren't bad people who support Israel, you know?
Yeah.
And like some of those people are so wrapped up in it, which I don't think is a good thing. It's definitely a really, really harmful thing. But some of them are so wrapped up in their idea of what's going on and the information they've gotten that is so different from the information that we have, that they will hear someone say they're pro-Palestine and just like it's like over, like they're done like talking. Like it's like, you know what I mean? So I kind of understand the hesitation in talking about it sometimes, especially to people who have like big platforms. Like, I don't know. It's like very conflicting because it's like, yeah, like the moral thing is to like be pro-Palestine in my opinion. But I also think that like there's so much like there's really hard set beliefs. And I think a lot of people, even within people who I see as on my team for most issues, have conflicting views about it. And I don't think the solution is, you know, icing people or not talking to them or whatever. And so it's like, if they weren't pro-Palestine for whatever reason, I could kind of understand why they wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I like don't think that anyone's like evil. Like, I think people just are getting such different information for so to a point. At this point, I do like at least that was also how I was primarily feeling a longer time ago before it has been like way more obvious. But I also think people just went to their own sides. At least from my perspective, I think everybody like went deeper into their belief and nothing really pulled anyone out because it was just so isolating, the like discourse. between people
Yeah.
with it. The thing is that also with what I just said, I feel like at the same time, I'm kind of giving leeway to people for not doing something moral. I don't know. It's like a confusing thing. It's just a thought. It's like a half thought. It's like just like the idea of like people coming from such different sides and like them not being bad people, even if like maybe they have like conflicting views, even if it's like a view that like you don't think is moral or right, or I don't know. I'm probably also giving more leeway in terms of that versus like if someone were like hated women or something, you know, which like
Yeah.
makes like I'm probably being a little ignorant, you know, it's not that productive anymore to create chaos between the like views that you're claiming, I guess. I don't know, but it's like impossible for that to not happen.
Yeah, but we don't even know in this case, like, if they're not
They
pro-Palestine.
probably
Like,
are, like they're
yeah.
probably pro-Palestine.
But I also just think that they're probably not educated on it, which, like, at that point is really, like, on them because they literally have all the time and resources to be educated about something. And I think that, yeah, I don't know. I think that it is just, like, a general state of, or it's just the general state of the world and everyone feeling very helpless about what's going on. Be like, oh, she fell off when, like,
Yeah, I mean, the root
yeah.
of that was literally just them not actually knowing that she was not getting media coverage. Like,
Yeah.
because of her supporting Palestine and us speaking out on that, like, she's not getting media coverage, is what I meant. Interesting thing for, like, it's interesting they don't know that because I feel like I've always viewed them as people who, like, do know how media works and stuff.
Yeah.
But it, like, became pretty obvious that they, like, I feel like they actually just didn't know.
Yeah.
So an aspect of it where one of their older friends was like posted something because people started commenting on her TikTok and being like, why aren't you holding your friends accountable? And then she was like, girl, I tried and I'm not friends with them anymore, which is
Yeah, she like
crazy.
replied to a comment of someone saying that and was like, I haven't talked to them in like 5 years or something like that.
But what do you think is actually the right thing or like the productive thing like between what we both said, you know what I mean?
Well, I feel like the thing that Nicole was talking about, I really agreed with, where she was basically just like saying how it's never too late. And she was saying, like, she's never going to be like, if someone starts speaking about Palestine who hasn't before, she's not ever going to be like, oh, like, now you're talking about it, like, da da da, whatever. She's always going to be like, okay, thank God, like, you're talking about it now. Like, that's great, awesome. And I feel like I have like a similar line of thought where I don't ever think it's too late. And I think that, like, it's never too late for them to start talking about things. But I also, like, I don't think it's productive to, like, but again, it's like they're not ever going to be canceled. Like they're not going to be canceled. So I don't know. I think that they just have so much time and resources that it's like, okay, they can easily educate themselves on this. And if they're choosing not to, then that's just like a choice that they're making. And I think then it becomes, okay, like, do you want to keep supporting that or do you not, you know?
Well, something I do worry about a little bit is the intention of people wanting other people. And I don't think that's a lot of people's intentions, but I feel like sometimes there's this intention of just wanting your side to be right and wanting to like, and I think that this is the thing of cancel culture of wanting to put each other down so that you're the one who's right. And I feel like I do get a sense of that sometimes within holding people to a standard of talking about politics in a way. I don't know. It is a such like a conflicting thing because I halfway don't even agree with that at the same time, but I like do think it's an interesting idea of just like people coming for them and attacking them for not talking about it with maybe the intention of just being like, I want to hold you like I'm mad. Like I'm mad and I want my like I'm clinging to this viewpoint and my viewpoint's right. And like maybe like yeah, their viewpoint is right, but like it's more of like the clinging to the viewpoint than actually gaining something productive out of it, I think. as the intention.
It is like, okay, like, because you can cancel someone for not talking about an issue, but then hypothetically, if they were to talk about it, but they did have a viewpoint that was different, or that was like not quote unquote right in this situation, then like they would also be canceled for that. And I think, like, yeah, I think just everything, and Brad Turmel was talking about this on the canceled report of being like, you know, before back in like 2019, 2020, whatever, it was like, okay, you everyone posted a black square. And that was like, oh, post a black square or else you're racist. And that was like that,
Yeah.
the as far as that went. And if you didn't do that, then you were canceled. And no company was going to hold back from being like, oh, we stand with black people. You know, like no company was gonna not say that. But with the war in Gaza, it's like more complex than that, where most companies choose not to take a stance, you know? And obviously, like a lot of companies do, and some are pro-Israel, some are pro-Palestine, but some also just choose not to take a stance. And then they don't want any of like the people that are associated with their companies to take a stance. Like Nicole was saying, how she's lost brand deals for being pro-Palestine and very vocally pro-Palestine. I'm sure that it's a similar thing with Emergency Intercom, where like if they talked about being pro-Palestine, they probably lose brand deals. And so I feel like it's also just like a very different, and that's why it's like, oh, like cancel culture is just like so different than how it was back in 2019, 2020, because the landscape of issues have changed and it's no longer like identity politics. It's no longer, you know, it's like a lot, it's a much broader landscape of like, yeah, like the discourse has changed to like large scale wars and like genocides that have centuries of history and centuries of complexity attached to them.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I feel like this is one of the first times, at least in broader social media history, of this happening, that I feel like we're seeing an issue that's this divided. And I think I said that in another episode, and maybe that's not true. Maybe there have been other ones, but it's just how it feels, at least to me right now. It's like it feels like the more divided thing than like it's really easy to be like, yes, obviously I like black people. Obviously I like women and gay people and trans people, but like it's not like that. Like there's so many like reasons why people are like taking either side. N not to say that they're valid, because but like it's just interesting of there's a lot more division with it. And also just in general, the left has gotten a lot more divided.
And like, as
Sorry,
like a
that someone was knocking on my
disclaimer,
door.
like we're both pro-Palestine, obviously, as we said, but I
Yeah.
think like what you were saying before of knowing people and like having friends that are pro-Israel and they're not bad people, it's like, yeah, it's like literally just what you said. Like it was a lot easier to be like, of course I like love gay people and women and trans people and black people. Like I'm not a bad person. Like I think everyone is equal and everyone whatever. But now it's like, and I think that sentiment should still be there of like everyone thinking that everyone deserves the right to live. But yet this like, and I think that that ultimately is what it comes down to with what's going on in Palestine also, of like, okay, these people just deserve like free land and deserve like their lives to not constantly be in danger, obviously. And it seems like a simple thing, but there's just so much attached to it that it's not a simple thing.
And
And
a
I,
lot of misinformation, like, oh my God, the information that my normal friend has that he's normal in the head mostly, but the information he has is like, I'm like, oh my God, how are you even like, how is this actually like his entire viewpoint is backed up, you know? And that's really interesting.
Like there's like literally like everything ever on the internet. Like if you have a viewpoint on something, and that's the thing is like it's impossible to be completely unbiased in something. So if you're going into it being like, "Oh, I'm a little bit leaning toward this side," then you can find literally all the information in the world to back up that side. And I feel like that's what a lot of people do. And then it's like, okay, well, if once you're, and it's also like, okay, well, once you start finding information that backs up your side, the algorithm is going to keep feeding you that same information. It's not just going to like turn its head on you. And yeah.
I do think that one thing that bothers me with all of it is just in a similar way to the identity politics. I think that I just notice a lot of people clinging to their belief and their thought as a way to prove their identities. And that's kind of what I was trying to say. I think, man, maybe I already communicated that well enough, but I just wanted to kind of clarify. That's what I kind of see the issue as, of because I was reading I was reading The Power of Now.
Oh my God.
I know. I read his other book like a long time ago when it was like normal to be reading his book, but like I just felt like I needed to read that book because I haven't read that one. I read his other one, so I read it recently. And I mean, I feel like it is like just a really good reminder because it has those ideas in it where it's like your beliefs actually like they're real, but they're also not really real. And a lot of the time we just want it to prove something about ourselves. And we're
Yeah.
just creating all this chaos and drama between each other as human beings instead of just like being able to like be at peace and like each other. And like, and obviously it's different with moral issues because it's like a whole like conversation and a whole like there's so much nuance to it. But I do, in a way, agree with that a little bit of a lot of the time people are just fighting to fight or fighting to prove something about themselves. Like looking at things from just like a non-judgmental place, I guess.
Yeah, and being like, oh, like I don't know, like I like definitely don't think that like icing anyone who has a different view is helpful, if as long as they're willing to listen to another viewpoint.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I just think that,
I'm just trying to not hate people anymore, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like that's something I did a lot when I was younger in terms of politics.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot better for us as a world if we don't hate people.
I agree. I think my only thing with that is that the only way that we'll get to that place of even like not hating people is we the first step is talking about it.
Yeah,
And
and also
like,
like there being actual change because I get that like,
yeah.
oh, if we're not hating each other and fighting, then how are we even
Yeah.
get to the how do we get to the end point of it?
Yeah.
Cool.
But like a talking like more like to toward about Enya and Drew, like they have like the first step is talking about it, and that's like more targeted toward just like everyone, like every creator, every person, like
Yeah.
everyone.
But like how do we don't know that maybe they're not talking about it in their personal lives.
Yeah, but I feel like then why would they? I mean, I'm sure they are talking about it in their personal lives, but I don't know. Well, that's also what like I was thinking about too with like the
But maybe
stuff
they're just
coming.
not tapped into politics in that way. Like maybe they aren't really getting the like good information. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
It's
I was.
really easy to not.
Yeah, well, I feel like they probably would be because they're following people that are doing that. But
No, they're like kind of in mainstream circles now.
saw like a comment where someone was like, this is about what you said like before about how do we know they're not talking about it in their inner circles. I saw a comment like about because everyone also started digging up all the stuff prior of like Enya saying the N-word and stuff. And someone was like, they probably like, there's a chance that they say the N-word in their own circle still, like with their friends. Like, we don't know that they don't.
Yeah, that'd be crazy though. I feel like they know better than that. Like,
Yeah.
come on. Like,
But
I
that's what
like
I'm
they were
saying.
really
Like,
young when that happened, which isn't an
yeah.
excuse at all, but it's like people online were saying that shit and thinking it was like fine to do, like at the
Yeah.
time. It was just a different world then. Not that it was ever okay.
Yeah, I can't even. That's like a whole other conversation that I'll just like I don't even want to get into because I still just don't get how, because like there's so many people who have never said the N-word. Like
Yeah,
it's so
no.
easy. Like I feel like I get like not knowing. Ugh, I don't know. It's just like a whole thing. Yeah.
Well, that's also how I felt when I was younger, when I quickly learned from Twitter, being on Twitter since like I was young, knowing you can't say the N-word because I like that was just like a known thing from the
Yeah.
internet and from learning that. But there were a lot of people around me in high school who were saying it all the time or in middle school or
Yeah.
whatever, and I was always on the train of like If you're saying this, you're fucking stupid. Like, you have to know that, like, this is wrong. But I feel like looking back now, I'm still like, you were a child. And, like, why would we, like, even if you, like, you feel like, yeah, like, it is, like, ridiculous that people were ever saying it. It is, like, come on. Like, people need to, like, have chance to grow and change from
And I
things.
also think that that's like something that's not like our place, obviously, to like say like whether or not that's okay. And like, because I also know the context was like about like a person and it was like the hard R that Enya like said it in. So it's obviously like not our place to be like, oh, like
Yeah, I
that's,
didn't know
And
that.
so, yeah, but the only reason I brought that up was just to say like you never really know what anyone's doing in like their inner circles. But I just find it hard to believe that people would talk about it in their inner circles and be like pro-Palestine in their inner circles, but then not just like literally post like a link in their bio. Do you know what I mean? Like that just seems a little wild to me.
I think it's
Especially,
about not isolating people. Like, that's what I think it is.
but I feel like most of their fan base is very pro-Palestine.
Yeah, but they're sort of gotten to like a mainstream point where I'm sure that they have pro-Israel followers who would
Yeah, for
stop watching
sure. And
them.
also, I think they would probably lose brand deals. But like, if that's the reason, then I feel like that's just like a cowardly move.
Yeah.
If that's the only reason you're doing it, because you're still gonna be big, you're still gonna be making a lot of money. Like, they are making a ton of money already, so I
It's
don't
not
think.
actually going to affect them, I think. I do wonder what their reasoning is, because I feel like I have a lot of guesses, and I feel like I'm privileged enough to not always get really angry at someone for not doing that. Because I don't know. I just think the internet is so broad that there's always someone, like, if you want to find out, like, everything is like a matter of will.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. But I also do think that they were being fucked up.
I do
So.
think.
I think that the point I was ma trying to make here was more that maybe instead of jumping to thinking that someone's a bad person for whatever they don't do, it's better to just pay attention to people who you do think are good and portray the morals and ideals that you want. Because I feel like when people do that, instead of putting people down and deeming them as unredeemable people, it avoids creating that negativity completely, and it instead just puts a spotlight on like making a positive impact on the world and just allowing people to naturally gravitate towards doing things that fit the mold of being a positive impact if it's what they decide on their own. Because I honestly feel like pushing people and pressuring people isn't going to make them want to speak out in a positive way more. Like, they're just gonna feel frustrated with the people who are pushing them. And I just do think that a less controlling stance would probably cause for people to do the right thing out of genuine care more often, instead of just doing it for the point of whatever people will think of them. But again, that's also coming from a place of privilege, and I think a lot of change does come from putting social pressure on people. And I think I'm just trying to think of solutions for cancel culture, because a lot of the time it does just feel like whoever the target of it is becomes angrier, and it doesn't really result in making them a better person. More so, they just end up trying to please the people around
I think
them.
it's like, yeah, just like generally too more so a thing of like, I think just like recognizing and like reconciling for probably like, and I know that like they're like problematic, they've been problematic in the past, but like this I feel like is kind of like the first time since becoming really mainstream that something like this has happened for them maybe. And so I feel like a lot of people are just seeing it and being like, oh, these people really aren't who I thought they were. Or just being like, oh, like these people who built their platform off of being relatable are so not relatable anymore, and they're just living in their
Yeah.
own plane of reality that's just really disappointing as a viewer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like perfectly valid. I'm kind of just like, I think to me, I'm kind of like, I already know. I
No, yeah,
already know
same.
who you like. And not that I even like, again, like, not that I really in my head hold it against them, because I think that's just how I think about things. I feel like I try to not get mad. Like, I don't know. I think I just am trying to not hate people for different, like, for that sort of thing or just in general. But, like, I do think there should be some sort of moral standard. Like, it's not, yeah. But I'm coming from a place of privilege. So, hi.
We love Greta and Malala.
Yeah, we would never say
If
that.
anyone cares.
I've made jokes about Mac Miller dying. Is that like the same thing?
No, I think I started that.
No, Mitch did.
No.
Yes. Mitch was the first person to be like, I'm glad he died.
Was he really?
Yeah, I
Oh.
remember very vividly.
Awkward. I don't think that's the same thing, though.
Mitch is low-key our first edgelord.
I don't think he's an edgelord. I think he's just an asshole.
I see. Yeah, true. Okay, you want to ask for Josh now, or I know we just talked mad shit, but you
Yeah.
want to come on the podcast?
And we'll ask you about Palestine. I feel like I already made a joke about asking Josh what his views on Palestine are before.
Should we stop asking him? Like, what's
I thought you were
the
going to be like, should we stop asking him his views on Palestine? That's the
vibe? Should
vibe.
we? Yeah, I just feel like Josh shouldn't have to talk about Palestine.
Well, we'll figure that. We'll table that and figure that out another time. But for now, Josh,
What
Drew,
if I.
Enya, the whole crew, if you want to come on. If you no, but seriously though, if you want to come on, let us know because we're currently going down a road. Like all of our past interviews have been with like Dime Square people, and it's been awful. And that's kind of the
Hey,
trajectory.
I've liked this. I
That's
love all of them.
I love all of them too. But I just don't want that to be our like brand.
That's the direction we're headed,
And
honey.
I don't want that. Podcast isn't called Dasha Nekrasova, please be a guest on my podcast. So I'm trying to get back to the roots of the podcast. Dash, can you come on the
Thanks.
podcast, please?
Okay, bye.